Live from the Annex Wealth Management Studios at The Avenue in downtown Milwaukee, it's time to Fast Forward. Welcome to the future of almost everything in Wisconsin on the upswing. Presented by Oricon Bank, the natural choice for all your banking needs. Joining WTMJ's Jeff Sherman, here's Steve Glenn and Martin Moore.
Good morning, Wisconsin. Good morning, Milwaukee. Happy Thursday. Steve Glenn, Martin Moore back in the saddle in our beautiful Avenue Studios here in downtown Milwaukee. The future of almost everything. A lot of different topics teed up today. Commerce, community, as always, analysis on local and national issues. We're going to talk some technology. How about some AI? What platforms we're using? How much we're paying for them? What we are getting done with them? The future of emissions, not only in the state of Wisconsin, but what else can we make more self-service in our world to save us time and money? Burnout, lost productivity. It is National World Mental Health Day. New Facebook glasses with Ray-Ban. I know Martin's going to have a hot take on those and what that will be for our future not only in social, but our future in the real world. So much going on. We're going to cover it all. But as we do each and every morning on the upswing, let's go two up.
Now it's time for the
1, 2, 2 up
on the upswing.
I've had some fans and listeners ask, what's happening on the corner of Santa Monica Boulevard and Hampton Road, right there kind of in the intersection of Shorewood and Whitefish Bay, kind of a gateway corner. There's a CVS there. There's a gas station. The Dairy Queen is right off the corner. But right on the northeast corner of Santa Monica and Hampton Road in Whitefish Bay, it will be Milwaukee County's first affordable housing project in Whitefish Bay. Sparrow Commercial LLC plans, well, they already demolished three buildings on that corner and now are in the process of building a 17-unit apartment building. Rents will range from $1,000 a month to $1,250 a month, which would be considered affordable for families earning the county median income of $50,000 per year. Sparrow is the developer of this project that is called The Hampton. The signs just went up. A lot of people asking questions. Hey, when is it going to be completed? I haven't been able to get a completion date, but the project is moving forward, which is great to hear. Also, your iPhone just got a whole lot better. I wanted to bring this. This is a little bit of news you can use. Starting with the iPhone 14, and I'm sure Martin Moore knows this, but Apple has quietly turned on its satellite power on its phones. First, obviously, people could use them to contact emergency services, especially with hurricane challenges now. But the latest software update, you can now text family and friends via satellite. So in the aftermath of Helene and obviously Milton now, here's the really easy way to enable satellite messaging if you have an iPhone. The hardware needed to connect to satellites, it's all in your phone already. Models 14, 15, and 16. You go to settings, and then you go to general, then you go to about, and you can find the model name, and everything is in there. The emergency SOS compatibility should just work. You have to have iOS 18 downloaded, though. But boom, satellite texting, even if you don't have that heavy signal, it's enabled, and it is there for your use no matter where you are. I had to put that out there because I think it's one of those things. You got to make sure you have the most recent operating system on your phone, and I want to keep you safe in all situations, no matter what.
And keep people texting.
I used it this weekend. I used satellite in New Orleans.
Oh, yeah? No, good. All right. When we come back, we are going to talk about the strengths, the weaknesses, some of the opportunities, and some of the threats of living right here in Milwaukee. This is The Upswing, and you're listening to WTMJ. Welcome back to the Upswing. I'm Jeff Sherman. Let's give away a gift card to the Mine Chef Restaurant in either beautiful downtown Hartford or just off Highway 41 near the EAA in Oshkosh. Both locations are full of creativity. The dining rooms, fun to explore. That's why they call it the Mine Shaft. Super affordable, a ton of fun, really family friendly as well. Our kids love it. Your kids will love it. The grandkids will love the world-class game room, quietly and conveniently set aside from the dining areas. Kids under five eat free Monday through Thursday from the kids menu. And every Thursday, when you buy one pizza, you get a second pizza, say it with me, Martin and Steve.
For free.
Indeed. Caller number 9-855-616-1620 gets a gift card to the historic mine shaft. Steve, Glenn, Martin, Moore. So I've had, I don't know if it's just like we're getting towards the end of the year, but I've had this question several times.
It's really close to the end of the year.
I don't know. I'm actually finishing my taxes because I delayed them to October 15th. So I'm in finance mode. Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. I had a bunch of things I had to take care of.
So sure.
When you make it
won the lottery.
That's right. Yeah. Yes. But I've had a lot of people ask me this week, and I'm not sure where it's coming from, but like, hey, why do you live in Milwaukee? Why do you live in Greater Milwaukee? What are the strengths that keep you here? So I wanted, you know, I have these insights in the
studio
here with
me.
I know we could do this all show, but let's do this for this segment. Give me your number one strength for Greater Milwaukee.
The network, the people. You're in such close proximity to whatever you want to get done. It's so simple. Even if you don't have a network, to get into the network, people are so receptive. The people.
And you feel like that's a difference maker as opposed to different markets?
I hear it all the time, especially in Chicago. Like, this would take me so long to get done. This would take me so long to meet this person, to have coffee with this person. It's a different game here.
Yeah. I like to call that our lack of pretense. I think the lack of pretense in this market is incredibly real, and it's a true benefit.
Yeah.
Martin?
Yeah, I mean, mine is the opportunity. I've said this a million times on podcasts and interviews, this radio show. We're very fortunate that we live in an up-and-coming city. You know, Milwaukee's not even close to reaching the apotheosis that it could be. And there's just so much opportunity here. And there's a lot of cities out there who have been dying for years and decades or never bounced back from COVID. And we're very fortunate that there's development, there's job opportunity, there's networking. There's just so much here.
Our favorite restaurant survived.
Yeah, right?
Yes.
And so for me, it's just the opportunity. I get really frustrated with people that are like, oh, I'm going to go move to Chicago, LA, New York. And it's like, the only thing over there is more competition.
Yeah.
And so for me, the number one thing is opportunity, many other things, but
yeah. And there's, you know, without a doubt, you look at climate change.
Yeah.
We don't have the amount of natural disasters in this market or in this state or in the Midwest.
Occasional tornado.
Okay. Right.
One of the largest sources of fresh water on planet Earth. It's not that bad. Winter, it barely snows, at least in the city
anymore.
Hey, now. Right.
Don't wreck that.
Which keeps our home insurance costs down and makes things, you know, more affordable.
Living is affordable here. I mean, every time I travel, and I travel a lot, we look at condo prices, house prices, and people would be shocked at how affordable Milwaukee is compared to even other similar sized cities like St. Louis or Cleveland or something like that.
All right. So we're going strength. We're going weakness. The W, Steve.
I have a really petty take on this one. I want the street lines painted better. That is a weakness of this city. It's bad enough you've got kind of people driving like they're on racetracks. You can't even see the lines in the road.
Yeah.
It's not good.
Okay. All right. Martin?
Mine is going to be public transportation / like biking. There are so many cities I've gone to where I'm just like, man, I don't even know if I'd have a car. Like, there's just such a network and infrastructure for taking public transportation, or if you want a bike or take an e-bike, dedicated lanes. I mean, I'm preaching to the choir. We all know the situation with driving and reckless driving in Milwaukee. Right. I'm not biking on our streets. Are you kidding
it's
me?
It's scary.
It is.
But I put that in opportunity just because I see how the city is transforming its streets right now.
Right.
Like, we're on a good path.
Oh, yeah.
Right. But, yeah.
With increased density, with more population, comes those opportunities to enhance connections and public transit.
Yeah.
And that's, you know, you roll the weaknesses right into the opportunity. Yep. I think that is a big opportunity. The aspirational let's get to a million population in Milwaukee, I think is incredibly aspirational. I'd like to see that come down. Let's get 75,000, 100,000 additional people in the next 5 years first, because I think that million number is just so high that people are like, whoa.
We don't have the infrastructure for a million people. We don't have the housing. We don't have the transportation. And so if you get stuck in traffic right now on the freeway, boy, you ain't going to like it when there's a million people.
Yeah, exactly.
So what's the biggest threat living in greater Milwaukee?
Everyone moving here and scooping up all the houses because we have no natural disasters.
That's happening.
That is true. Yeah, rising prices for sure. I think that's coming. You know, we have this affordability, I think, complex that we all share if we've lived here for a long time, but the prices are creeping
up. Sales tax went up. Just everything in general is going up. And, you know, once there's just a huge demand with more people, housing is going to go up. And so that's my biggest one.
Yeah, I know we're not taking on like the, you know, crime, education, those kind of issues on this topic, on this scenario. But I think, it's becoming a big city is kind of a threat to me. Yeah. I like it how it is. It's really awesome.
Small Milwaukee. Yeah.
You got to be comfortable with being uncomfortable. That's where we have to get, Steve Glenn. All right. You're listening to The Upswing, and this is WTMJ. Welcome back to The Upswing. I'm Jeff Sherman, joined by Martin Moore, Steve Glenn, Commerce, Community, Connections, and much, much more. So, gentlemen, have you paid for any AI platforms that have made your work life more productive? Like, what are you seeing out there in terms of platforms, and which ones do you use, and why?
I got a long take on this, so Martin, you can go if you want to start.
I pay with my data information. I haven't paid actual money. I use ChatGPT a lot.
Okay.
I'm naturally a really, really strong writer, but I spend a lot of time thinking about what I want to say and just articulating things. And so it does a really good job of, like, you can just put in a prompt and just be like, rewrite this to sound more professional or casual/professional, and then put in what you wrote, and it'll sort of refine it and tweak it in a way that I would normally write it.
Okay.
Where I see a problem with that is I know people that are completely relying on it that aren't strong writers, and it's coming up with these great sounding resumes and paragraphs and letters and stuff like that. And, you know, an employer.
Then you meet the person.
Yeah, you meet the person or an employer, you know, you go to an interview and then you sound like a bumbling idiot.
Right.
That's where there's going to be a problem. I think a lot of people are going to get found out that they're.
What do you use for the spell check? Whatever's in the platform in your email program, or do you use a Grammarly or pay for a product like that?
I mean, Outlook spell checks for me.
Okay.
Photoshop, I have to MailChimp.
But you don't use an extension product?
No.
I drop it in Google Doc.
And I'm a terrible speller.
Okay.
Yeah, me too.
Okay.
So I probably spend about $120 a month.
Okay, on different platforms.
So the pro versions and the upgraded versions
that get you more use and more data and more insights.
I use Claude AI.
Okay.
For more written stuff, the way Martin described. But as like the podcasting world, I use Happy Scribe to turn my audio into text quickly.
Mm.
I use Auphonic to help produce and level the audio in an episode.
Okay.
And Descript to edit.
Mm.
And it's like just makes everything faster. But, you know, to Martin's point, I had this talk in a college classroom about AI recently. And they're like, well, you know, this will happen or this could happen. Like, you have to be good at something before you can be efficient at it.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
And so if not good, these tools are just going to expose that.
It's a crutch.
Yeah.
Well, and your point to the classroom, I think, is a really good one, because you're hearing it now, especially in the high schools, that teachers are just saying, no AI platforms at all.
Right.
That's the stance we're taking. But the reality is you have to know how to use it, because you're going to continue to learn, and you're going to need it.
Yeah. And I think the next where we're going is building your own bots within the Claude or the ChatGPT environments that will just automate or a lot of what you're doing.
I mean, my go-to platform right now is Perplexity. I think it answers questions really well in depth. It sources a ton of different platforms. The pro version's $20 a month. I haven't upgraded yet. I just don't have that amount of use yet. But have either of you used Notebook LM?
No.
No, but I did.
I've heard of it.
I did just talk with the guy who's in charge of it. The,
look at that. Look at Steve with the big time answer.
Yeah.
Wow.
I haven't used it yet, but I saw a demo. It is incredible.
So Notebook LM from Google generates podcasts from uploaded content, creating lifelike dialogues with AI voices. So essentially, you take whatever content you need.
Hours and hours of
that will take research you to read. Paper. Yes. I was just at a doctor's office last week. I got full lab work, full blood work, and I'm like, Doc, what do I do with this? Because he's going to give me his insights, but I want data. I want more actionable insights as to how I can use this. Yeah. I dumped in all my blood work results. It gave me back a podcast and showed me what I should be doing, what vitamins I should be taking. You got to ask the right questions, but it's really interesting and a great way to generate content on based upon data that I just don't understand reading.
So here's a question. I mean, we obviously all know this. You know, there's certain bias in all these AI models. And when it comes to things like, let's say, healthcare, you know, I just watched this Amazon documentary on how I'm not supposed to eat meat and it's going to give me every single cancer on planet Earth and I should be on a plant-based diet.
Yeah.
But, you know, putting in your blood work and it recommends changes to you, how does it, where's it going to get the correct information? And because it's garbage in, garbage out. It only knows what it knows.
Exactly. And I want to put that against what my doctor's saying.
Sure.
What my nurse is saying, you know, and I want to source it with multiple platforms. But if it can give me more data and put it in a more consumable way, that's going to help enhance my life.
You should start smoking and drinking bourbon, Jeff, and eating red meat.
Done.
All right. When we come back, lessons that we can learn on today, World Mental Health Day. Welcome back to The Upswing. I'm Jeff Sherman. We invite you to participate in the WTMJ Fall 2024 Fan Survey. Really easy. Takes less than 10 minutes. We want your feedback. All you have to do is just text the word survey to the WTMJ Talk and Text line at 855-616-1620, 855-616-1620. The link will be texted to you as a thank you for your participation. You register to win a couple tickets to the Milwaukee Bucks this new season. Actually, they play tonight, preseason game. LeBron's been tweeting about it. And you also get registered to win an overnight stay at the beautiful Pfister Hotel right here in downtown Milwaukee. Steve Glenn, Martin Moore, today is World Mental Health Day.
Yeah.
So I just get my general question for both of you. You know, obviously, you look at some of the numbers. You know, some of the American Heart Association has reported that 4 out of 5 employees, that's 82%, are saying they sometimes feel burnt out in their role. I mean, I think no matter what role you're in, you probably feel burnt out at some point. But you look at the dollars and the lost productivity. Gallup is saying it's almost $2 trillion that the economy loses because of stress and just negativity, the disengagement, the reduced productivity that comes with challenged mental health. What do you do each and every day to just make sure your mind is right? And, you know, to our last conversation, are there apps, are there services that maybe you're paying a couple bucks for that you get a lot out of?
Me, and I'll just be completely transparent, I struggle with depression, anxiety. I have terrible OCD and ADHD. I've been able to mitigate all that stuff without drugs or anything like that. But for me, the biggest thing is video games. And I get really, really frustrated when people make fun of gamers because video games is the only way that I disconnect from social media, from the real world, from the news that's stressing me out, from the people in the hurricane that are suffering and dying, from everything that's going on, from the election. And video games is the only way I can unplug, and I feel so refreshed, as if I meditated or I took a nap.
That's so cool.
And for me, that's my thing. That's what I do. Some people, they read. Some people, they run. But I think you have to have something.
Yeah, without a doubt. Steve?
I get up when as often as I can early and sit, whether that's before everyone wakes up or after everyone's gone, and just think.
Yeah.
And just with nothing on, no phone, look outside.
Yeah. I have that routine in the morning that I need to do each and every day to just get my mind right with my reading and my breath work. Yeah. I have this Whoop band that monitors stress and heart rate variability and sleep. And they just added steps, finally.
Ooh, nice.
It's $239 per year for the service. But I find, you know, sometimes, to your point, it can be data overload.
Sure.
You can get all this information. But I like to look at it, and it shows, all right, you're doing okay now. Maybe you should do this. Maybe you should do that. And it just gives me a day-to-day look at kind of what my body's telling me.
Sure. It's important.
Yes.
I mean, knowing your heart rate and knowing a lot of these health things on a daily, weekly, monthly basis is vital, because it can catch you off guard real quick. Mm-hmm. You can mess up your body in 3 months real fast.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I'm glad you mentioned productivity, because, you know, my day job is with the Milwaukee Youth Symphony Orchestra. And as traditional as that might sound to some people, they're very progressive on flexibility.
Mm.
And mental health for me often is working in the space or place in with people that I just feel like is going to be the best that day.
Yeah. And a lot of instructors there that are teaching kids how to be creative, how to optimize their instruments.
Yeah.
And the same for teachers. You look at teachers now, I mean, the burnout levels are really high because it's hard to turn it off.
Yep. Yes.
Right.
And that's why, you know, I've talked to a lot of people who are in situations where that, you know, they have a family and they have a mortgage and they have responsibilities and loans, and going to work, going to the office, they were working with people that would stress them out. They hated their job, but they couldn't get out of it.
Yeah.
The whole work from home thing brought away that stress, and they didn't hate their job as much, and their stress levels went down, and they were eating better. And so,
your family more.
One of the things I frustrated with is the whole bring people back to work just to see their faces, even if it's not necessary. Yeah. You're introducing that stress and anxiety to people that don't need to have it in certain situations.
No matter what, it's good to know that there are a lot of solutions and low cost solutions out there that are easily attainable.
And call and ask for help. There's hotlines.
Call and ask for help.
Friends, family.
All right, when we come back, well, maybe something that isn't helping our mental health, but the future of Facebook and Meta. How much are those new Ray-Ban Meta smart glasses, and how will we all use them? This is The Upswing. You're listening to WTMJ. Welcome back to The Upswing. Martin Moore, Steve Glenn joined today. A lot of people talking about the future of Meta, the future of Facebook. Indeed, it very well could be the new Ray-Ban Meta smart glasses. You're looking at about $299 for the basic Wayfair model. Some of them up to $379 for a little bit more style and usability. You add prescription. You add another $160 to $300 for these things, but
worth it. They
capture photos. You can live stream as you're wearing them to Facebook and Instagram. Meta AI text translation, Spanish, French, Italian, English. So finally, I think for a wearable that you're putting over your eyes, these have some actual real use at a price. I want to say it's affordable, but it's pretty approachable for many.
And they look nice.
They do look nice. I watched an interview that The Verge did where they got to sort of play around with them and see what they can do. I think the version that you see right now, reviews and stuff, is not like the final version that ships.
Yeah.
Oh, can you buy that one now?
It looks like you can buy these.
Yes, you can.
I struggle with this because I'm an 80s baby, and I've been watching tech companies try and force us to wear something on our face.
Right.
3D glasses, 3D movies, VR, Apple Vision Pro,
headsets that
Snapchat
cover half the
spectacles,
face.
Yep. Google glasses, like all of this stuff. And at every turn, they lose billions, and people just basically say, I don't want them. I mean, the MetaQuest lost, I didn't remember, I'm making the number up, but it was $30, $50, $500 million, something. I don't think the average person wants to wear something on their face. I just don't.
I think I'm going to buy these.
Unless it's a contact lens.
I think I'm going to buy them.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm going to get them.
I mean, there's a niche group of people that
I just
want to use
it out. Yeah.
But I just don't think it will ever be as ubiquitous as like a smartphone or even the watch. Everyone always thought the Apple Watch was going to fail. And I was like, no, the people wear watches. No, right. That's an easy swap.
There has to be a good use case. They have to be fashion forward.
Yeah.
They have to be priced right.
Not heavy.
And these are smart glasses that give you the ability to make calls, send texts, that control all the features. You don't have to press and hold on your phone. I mean, it kind of, they seemingly work well.
Sure.
Without a ton of work. And that's what people want.
You
know,
that path to least resistance. Charge them. It's another thing you got to remember. Yeah. It's another thing that you could easily break. I mean, how many times have we broken our own glasses?
All these are like, yes, you just make me want to buy them even more. Everything you're saying.
It's definitely a niche market. I mean, there's people that will want them. I just don't think your next door neighbor or your Aunt Judy's going to buy them.
We're going to do a future show with our Ray-Ban Meta glasses.
Bring them next week.
Yes, we are putting that on the list for sure. All right. We all know that we kind of roll our eyes a little bit when you talk about the DMV, but the reality is that renewing your vehicle's registration is getting easier and easier. More on that when we come back. You're listening to The Upswing. This is WTMJ. Welcome back to The Upswing. I'm Jeff Sherman, joined by Martin Moore and Steve Glenn. The DMV, always kind of one of those experiences. You're like, I have to deal with the DMV. I got to get my license renewed or emissions done. But, the reality is renewing your vehicle's registration is getting easier and easier. And even emissions is getting easier. Actually, pretty easy. But now it's about ready to become much, much easier, hopefully. Let's hear a little bit more from Debbie Laziga.
It wasn't too long ago that I went over the steps to renewing your vehicle's registration and getting the emissions testing done. Well, now it's going to be even easier, hopefully.
These are self-service kiosks where you can test your own emissions, and that's going to be a real benefit for motorist convenience to be able to do it at their leisure.
That's Mike Dory, the general manager for Opus Inspections. That's the company that the DMV contracts with to do the emissions testing for the vehicles in Wisconsin. He says for folks that wish to DIY this task, it's set up to be really efficient.
It's very user-friendly. It basically walks you through it.
So here's how it works.
It's touchscreen, so you're going to literally come up to the kiosk, you're going to hit touch to start, and then the door is going to open where the OBD2 cable is located. You're going to pull out that cable. The hardest part of the test is connecting that cable to your data link port on your car, kind of get underneath there and plug that in. Once you do that, the car and the computer start talking to each other, and it's going to then ask you to verify a little bit of information. It'll ask you to verify your license plate number, which is important because people want to renew their registration. You got to make sure the plate is correct. The test takes about 3 minutes, and at the very end of the test, it's going to print you out a result. So it's that simple.
And there's a distinction with these that just may make a huge difference for those that don't want to wait in a line.
You can go to 87th and Brown Deer or 9300 South 27th Street right now and do those tests 24 hours a day. And between 10 and 6, Tuesday through Saturday, there's people around that can help. For those who are maybe a little intimidated, feel free to use them with some help or just come right to our regular stations as well.
Right now, those are the only two locations with the kiosks, but with enough thumbs up from the public.
The expansion potential is based upon motorist feedback, quite honestly. I think the state and us will be looking to see, what the motorists think of the kiosks, and if there's positive feedback, I would imagine that there would be some expansion down the road. But, we got to kind of see what people think.
They still have the standard list of garages that do the tests, as well as the VIP testing facilities if you're not into the DIY thing. A link to the list is on WTMJ.com. Oh, and one more thing.
It is for 2007 newer vehicles. So, if you have an older vehicle, you would still have to go to a regular testing facility. So 2007 and newer can test at the self-service kiosk.
Debbie Laziga, WTMJ News.
Self-service emissions coming to our fine state right here in Wisconsin. $85, right? The vehicle registration renewal in Wisconsin still stands at $85. So what do you think? What else needs to be self-service and easier in our lives? And first, do you embrace this concept? You're a car guy, Martin.
I don't know. I mean, I lease. One of the myriad reasons I lease is so I don't have to deal with this. So it's changed a bunch since the last time I've ever had to do emissions is when you have to used to go into the dealership and the Honda dealership, Schlossman's Honda City. I went to, we opened that up for maybe like 6 months and it was a nightmare because that's all we got flooded with. I mean, sure, it's fine. All they're doing is checking to see if your check engine light is on. If check engine light's off, you're going to pass emissions. And so that's all it's doing. So I think there's definitely an opportunity to sort of expedite people's emissions process doing it that way. But
Efficiency and productivity.
Nobody likes emissions.
Yes.
No one likes it. No, and I'm all for making it easier. I'm just not doing it myself. Like, that just sounds confusing. No thanks.
What else? We got about a minute here, but what else can we self-serve from a government or a business standpoint that can make our lives easier?
I wish the government could just do my taxes for me because, boy, they have all my information, and if I'm wrong by a penny, they sure know it. So why can't you just do it?
That is being worked on. 1,000%. A more self-service product
that would be
for
nice.
Taxes and even some banking systems can be a whole lot easier. I think stamps and mailing could be a little bit more self-service too. If you're mailing old school, like there's still kind of a process there. You should be able to scan something.
Like put a letter in your mailbox and will the mail carrier pick it up and send it?
You gotta put your flag up.
Believe it or not, I haven't mailed a letter in like 15 years.
Oh, my neighbors do it all the time.
So you can still do that.
They still have paper boxes on their mailbox.
I wonder if the mail carriers are super annoyed when people do that.
All right. The future of almost everything. Steve Glenn, Martin Moore. I'm Jeff Sherman. It's all about efficiencies and productivity.